Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hello. Good morning. Welcome. Man, we are halfway through our series called Essential Truths That We Believe In. So we've been talking about some really core fundamental truths that really every Christian should believe and agree on. We've talked about who God is. We've talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. We talked about Scripture. Last week, we talked about sin and how that affects every one of us and the solution for that. And today, we're talking about the person of Jesus. Now, here's a question. Who in here has had the pleasure of taking an open book test? Raise your hand if you've been able to take an open book test. Oh, yeah. Okay, many. Yeah, if you're joining online, type me in the chat. Now, if you're not familiar with open book tests, I remember the first time I was exposed to this concept. I was blown away. I was like, you're like giving us access to all the answers to all the questions that will be on the test, right? And they're like, yes. I remember one teacher gave us, it was an open book exam, and he gave us the exam before exam day so we could study it and then have all of our resources. And I'll tell you what, I almost started to think that this guy actually wanted us to pass his tests, right? Like, I could not believe that people would let us look at the test beforehand and have all the answers right in front of us. The reason that I bring that up is because life can feel like a test, right? There's like all these things to know, all these questions, and there's a lot of people who feel like they're failing because you don't know the answers, and you don't know where to find them, and you feel stressed out because you've got all this stuff weighing down on you, and how do you do this, and when you do this, and where do you find the resources for this? And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of life's biggest questions, right? We're going to look at three of them today. Questions like this: how can I know God? How can I know life's purpose? How can I know and experience real, legitimate life change for me? And so those are really big questions to look at and to talk about. And so that can, like, you know, you start thinking about those things. But if you've been feeling stressed about life, we're going to look at these questions and we're going to do it open book style. And on top of that, not only are we going to do it open book style, I'm going to give you the answer to every single one of those questions. How do I know God? How do I know life's purpose? And how can I experience life change? Why would we do that? Why would we look at the questions? Why would we have an open book? And why would we give you the answers? Well, because God wants you to pass. You need to know that. God wants you to know the answers to these questions. God wants you to walk with him and to know him. God wants you to succeed in life in the areas that really matter the most. And so that's why we're diving into all this today. So here's what I'd like everybody to do. I'm going to tell you what the answer is right now to our questions. And I want us all to say it out loud together. All right, here's the answer. Look at Jesus. Are you ready? Go. Look at Jesus. All right, if you're joining online, type in the chat, look at Jesus. That is the answer to our question today. So do me a favor, look at your neighbor, someone sitting next to you, look them right in the eye and say, don't look at me, look at Jesus, right? Okay, all right, you're ready, okay. Here's the first question, all right? And I want you to help me answer these questions too with the answer. Here's your first question. How can I know God? What's the answer? Look at Jesus. Yes, perfect. You're doing well. Okay, how can I know God? You gotta look at Jesus. If you want to know who God is, you've got to look at Jesus. Lots of people want to know God, and many even go in search of him. Some will go looking for God in nature, right? They'll in the woods or the mountains or the beach or somewhere in the wilderness, and they'll look for God there. Some will look in some type of miracle, some experience that they get to have. Some will look for God in philosophy. Others will look for God in morality, trying to live a really, really good life. But here's what you need to know. Whether you're looking for God in nature or philosophy or morality or some type of miraculous experience, you need to know all of these are religion. Okay, all of these attempts are just a form of religion. And religion, at its core, is this. Religion is man's attempt to find God. Okay, that's all religion is at its core. It is man's attempt to get to God, man's attempt to find God. And here's what you need to know about religion and our attempts to find God. They all fall short. Every one of our attempts to get ourselves to God, every one of our attempts to go find God fall short. They are dead ends. And I want to tell you this on top of that. You don't need to find God because God's not lost. Okay? He's not the one who's lost. In fact, you are. You're lost. I'm lost. Without God, we're completely lost. And here's what's so cool, right? We're the ones who need to be found, not God. We're the ones. So here's what's so cool, is God came to find us in the person of Jesus Christ, right? He showed up and found us through the person of Jesus Christ. Actually, if you look in the scriptures, there's this really cool miracle that takes place between, and nobody really understands it, but it's a miracle of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was born as a human infant, right? He went through all of the process that you and I do, right? Growing from, you know, this, what I assume would be the single cell and then multiplying, going through the process within all of that. Jesus went through that as well. But through this miracle, Jesus was born as a human being, just like you and me. John chapter 1, verse 14 really captures this well. It says, and the Word, referring to Christ, became flesh and lived among us. And we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. And so Jesus, the Son of God, remember we talked about the Trinity in week one, the Son of God, who is fully God, entered into our world in the flesh. That's amazing. That's incredible. On top of that, what I love what John writes is he says, we saw it. We were witnesses. We were there. You need to understand this is one of the key fundamental differences between Christianity and then the religions that are out there in the world. Christianity, there are literally hundreds of people who were eyewitnesses to the life, teaching, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is so different than every other philosophy or every other religion that's out there because they're all like some guy in a cave out in the forest by himself gets a vision that nobody else is privy to. In all seriousness, go check out origins of other religions. Christianity is the only one that has hundreds, literally hundreds of people who were eyewitnesses to the life, teaching, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what this is exposing for us is that Jesus is fully God in every sense of the word, and at the same time, he's fully human. This is God in the flesh. And it's not 50% God, 50% human. He is 100% God and 100% human. How does that work? No clue. But it's true, right? This is what scripture teaches us, okay? So what does that mean for you and me then? If Jesus is fully God and fully human, it means this. Jesus is your best view of God. He's your absolute best view of God. You will not find a better look at who God is than Jesus Christ, right? In the flesh. In fact, there's a moment when Jesus was spending some time with his disciples. It's actually not too far away from when he was going to be crucified, but they're having a conversation, and one of his disciples, Philip, looks at Jesus and says, you know what, Jesus? All you have to do is just show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us, and we're in. We'll buy in all the way. And Jesus like looks at him. I can only imagine the look on Jesus' face because they've like been together now for 3 years, right? And I wonder if his eyes got kind of big and his jaw kind of dropped and he like smeared his hand down his face, right? As Philip is saying that. Because this is Jesus' response in John chapter 14, verse 9. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is your best view of who God is. You'll never find another better view of who God is than Jesus. You won't find a better view of God in nature, not in philosophy, not in morality, nothing except Jesus Christ. Could you imagine just for a moment? Go with me for a moment. Imagine if you were Philip. Like, just imagine for a moment that you're Philip, and maybe you get it in this moment. You realize that you are staring in the eyes of God. You have shared a meal with God in the flesh. You have had God put his hand on you as he prayed for you in a moment in your life. Perhaps you even received a hug from, like, just imagine that, to realize that you have been walking and journeying with God for the last 3 years of your life. Here's what I want to tell you. If you're a Christian, if you are in Christ, one day you will look Jesus in the eye. You will see him face to face. You will give him a hug. You will share a meal together. You will celebrate the rest of eternity in his presence, full of joy and peace and glory. Some of you might even get to play a round of nine with Jesus, right, in eternity. Who knows, right? I don't know everything we'll be doing and won't be doing there. But listen, you're gonna be in the unfiltered presence of God one day. What a joy. Now, at the same time, like, if we can be just transparent with each other, there are some days where I struggle to connect with God, right? Because he's so much greater than me. He's so much larger than me. He's so different. Even though I'm created in his image, he's so different from me. And so when life starts to get, like, chaotic and really busy, God can feel, like, far off and even a little bit abstract to life and to your situations. And so if you and I are similar in this way, if you sometimes struggle to relate with God, I'm going to give you the secret on how to connect with him and see him as he is. You want to know how? Somebody just said it. Yeah, look at Jesus, right? I'm telling you, that's the answer, right? You got to look at Jesus, right? If you want to connect with God and relate with him, you do that by looking at Jesus. Listen, when you wonder how God responds to the death of a loved one, look at Jesus as he wept at the sight of the grave of his friend Lazarus. That's how he responds to somebody dying who he loves, right? When you wonder if God cares about your physical pain, look at Jesus in the scripture when he's moved by compassion to heal the sick and to literally touch lepers who have gone untouched for however long they've had leprosy. Husbands, if you're here and you're going, I wonder how God would care for his wife if he had a wife. Read Ephesians 5. Jesus has a wife, by the way. It's called the church. Ephesians 5 says the church is his bride, and he actually lays his life down for her. If you want to understand God to a greater degree, you have to look at Jesus. And here's what you need to know. God has not changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's an argument that some people will make. It's like, oh, God's this angry, bitter guy in the Old Testament. And then he's like, oh, love and hugs in the New Testament, right? And that's Jesus. And everybody likes Jesus, but nobody likes you. But here's the thing. Jesus shows us that he is the same God from the Old Testament that he is of the New Testament. That God still wants to set us free from sin. And God still wants to be with us for all of eternity. That's the story of the Old Testament. And that's the fulfillment of the New Testament. And he loves us enough to do something about it and not just leave us in our sin, right? So I want to encourage you with a potential challenge that might be helpful for some of you. It's actually found on your connection card. It's the second next step down. I want to encourage some of you to join the Daily Look Challenge. And here's what the Daily Look Challenge is that tomorrow morning, before you turn on the TV or you start scrolling through social media on your phone to see what's going on in the world, before you do any of that, that you would read maybe in one of the Gospels, right? Maybe you're on our Essentials Bible Reading Plan, but you would read in one of the Gospels, and as you're reading, you would identify at least one adjective that describes Jesus, right, in the account that you're reading, and then just write that down. right? And so you might, read an account of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Well, what is an adjective that you would write down to describe Jesus? Maybe you would see Jesus read the portion of him feeding 5,000. What adjective would you write down? Maybe you read the account of Jesus weeping at Lazarus' tomb. What adjective would you write down to describe him? Because as you are describing Jesus, you're describing God. And the more you look at Jesus, the more you will know who God is. And so, how can I know God? Look at Jesus. Here's the second question. How can I know life's purpose? What's the answer? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, man. That's what you got to do. So how do I know life's purpose? I look at Jesus. So here's just a question. Do you know what the purpose of your life is? Like, have you thought about that? What is the purpose of my life? And as you think about that and as you answer that, maybe for some of you, you answer that question with, well, the purpose for me is my career, my job. Maybe for others of you, you go, well, it's not that, but it's college and getting my degree or getting my training and moving on in life. For some of you, maybe you see the purpose of your life as your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife or maybe your kids. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's influence. Whatever it is, right? Maybe you have identified that the purpose of your life is one of these other things. Let me share a small secret with you, and it's this. When you stop obsessing over those things and you begin to focus on God's purpose for your life, everything else in life begins to find its proper place, right? This is what Jesus was talking about, that if you would seek God first, then he'll take care of everything else, right? Just if he's my priority, if he's my focus, he'll take care of everything else. But here's what I want to tell you, is that God doesn't promise a life free of trouble. So you need to know that, right? So it's not like if I focus on God, then everything goes my way. But what he does promise is if you'll seek him first, he will guide your career. He'll sustain your relationships. He'll provide for your needs. And he'll hold your life completely secure. That doesn't mean everything will go the way that you want it to go. But it does mean you'll walk with God through every single situation and season of life. And if you want to know life's purpose, you got to look at Jesus. You have to look at him. Jesus is fully God, right? We've already talked about that. But you have to know that he's also fully human. He's fully human. In fact, Jesus is what human life is supposed to look like. Did you know that? Jesus is the epitome of what humanity is supposed to look like. He is the model, the ideal, the example beyond any other one. He is what you and I are supposed to look like. When the apostles were talking about Jesus after his resurrection and his ascension, they're describing Jesus and what he had done and what he'd accomplished. And at one point in Acts chapter 3, it says this, you, talking to the Jews, he says, you killed the author of life. You should underline that phrase, the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. And we're what? We're witnesses of this fact. We saw it. Wasn't a vision in a cave. Wasn't a vision in a forest by ourselves. We saw him in real life, face to face. But it says you killed the author of life. The Bible says that Jesus created the universe. Jesus created human life. And so who would know better what human life is supposed to look like than the author of life himself? Like if you want to know what your life is supposed to look like, what the design, what the purpose, what the intention of your life is supposed to look like, man, go to the author of life. That's Jesus. That's who he is. And here's what I love about this. Like, God wasn't just like shouting instructions from heaven, right? Like, hey, do this. You're doing it wrong. No. God. No, what he does is he shows up in the flesh and he shows us what human life is really supposed to look like, right? That's incredible. What the Bible says is that Jesus entered creation as a human being. And he lived life with all of the same struggles and tensions and even more than you and I face. And it says that he lived it perfectly. He lived life flawlessly. Hebrews chapter 4 puts it this way, that we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And so Jesus understands the weaknesses that you face, in your life. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be wore out. He knows what it's like to feel temptation. Listen, Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted to live his way instead of God's way. He knows what that temptation feels like. Okay? Jesus knows what it feels like to be tempted to want to rush God's plan, right? Jesus knows what it's tempted to be like when you want to help God, right? Because he's not understanding your situation very well or not moving quite as quickly as you'd like him to. And so Jesus understands and relates to all of that, but there's a difference between you and him, and it's that Jesus never sinned. He felt it. He was tempted to, but he never crossed the line into it. He always trusted God in every single situation. He never stepped away from life's true purpose. And so if you want to know life's purpose, you have to look at Jesus. And so that begs the question, well, what is the purpose of your life? What's the purpose of your life? What's the purpose of my life? I will tell you, because Jesus told us. You want to know what the purpose of your life is? It's knowing God. That's the purpose of your life. Over and above anything else, the purpose of your life is knowing God. How do I know that? Well, I know that because this is exactly what Jesus prayed about in John chapter 17, verse 3. In fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with, "This is eternal life." Are you ready? Go. "This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." Guys, that's what life is. Life is knowing God. By the way, a lot of times I've heard people read this passage and talk about it, and the way they interpret this is the way to get eternal life is knowing God. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying that the way to get life is knowing God. He says real life, eternal life, legitimate life that you and I were created and designed for is knowing God through Jesus Christ. That's what life is. And so eternal life isn't something else or something different that you attain. Eternal life, real life, is just knowing him and walking with him and relying on him. You have to understand that you were made to know God through faith in Jesus Christ. That was always the plan from before the creation of the world, that you and I would have a relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the essence. And so it's knowing who he is as he's revealed himself in the Bible, as he's revealed himself through Jesus Christ. It's going to God with every single situation, no matter how small it is and no matter how big it is, no matter how mundane it is, no matter how unique it is, that every time I'm going to God, every time I'm going to the scriptures, every time I'm going to prayer to receive guidance from God on what he would have me to do. Because it's not so much about just accomplishing stuff and knocking things off the list. It's actually about living life with God. That's the goal. The goal is to do everything with God, not to do stuff for him and then come back and, "Hey, I got my checklist done without you, and I didn't need any of your help." In fact, that would be a failure of a life. To live your life God's way without him, right? To be that close and yet still millions of miles away from who he is. So here's the question. What is your life's purpose? In all seriousness, what is the purpose of your life? When's the last time you've asked yourself that question and really thought about that? I would encourage you, ask that question to yourself this week. What is the purpose of my life? And answer honestly, right? Be transparent with yourself. Be honest before the Lord. And some of you might go, "I don't really know how to answer that question. What's the purpose of my life?" Well, you could do things like look at how you spend your time. Where do you spend the majority of your time? That would probably start to reveal what the purpose of your life is. Where do you spend how do you spend a lot of your resources, right? You're like, "Hey, I got bills to pay and all that kind of stuff." But what about other resources? How do you use money? What are things that you think about often throughout the day that might begin to expose what you believe is your purpose in life? Here's another one. What are you afraid of losing? What is the thing that when you think about it being taken from your life, and that makes you afraid? That may begin to expose the purpose of your life, right? And so if your answer to the question, what's my life's purpose, if it's not knowing God through Jesus, then ask the Spirit to change your mind. Ask the Spirit to change your heart, right? That's the starting place, right? I'm recognizing this is where I am at, right? Instead of trying to fool yourself and convince yourself or convince God that this is an okay purpose of life, instead of knowing you through Jesus, just say, man, this is what I want to go after. Will you change my heart? Will you make it new? When you know God and you know the purpose of your life, it actually begins to beg a third question, right? The first question is, how do I know God? We look at Jesus. Second question is, how do I know life's purpose? We look at Jesus. And here's the third question. How can I know and experience life change? And the answer is? Oh, man, you got it. You got it. All right, I think you're going to pass. All right, we'll see. Hey, here's, now I'm going to date myself. I recognize this. But how many of you in here or online remember a movie came out late 80s, early 90s called Groundhog Day? Does anybody in here remember? Yeah, Bill Murray. Okay, Groundhog Day. I remember I was sharing this with like two of the people were like over 45 and then two of the people were like under 30 and half of them had no clue what I was talking about, okay? So Groundhog Day, let me give you the real quick rundown. Bill Murray is a weatherman who goes to Punxsutawney Phil and see the groundhog come out of there and something happens and he ends up reliving the same day every single day over and over again. Like he's like beating conversations before they happen because he knows what's going to take place. And so the whole movie is just kind of the ridiculousness that he goes through of living the same day over and over and over and over again. Why do I bring that up? Because some of us in this room, some of us online can relate to that movie really well. You feel like your life is on repeat. And you're living the same day over and over and over again. Or you're struggling with the same failure again and again and again, day after day, relationship after relationship, failure after failure, and you feel stuck and you don't know how to break out. And so when you see a question like this, how do I know? How do I experience real life change? You're going, yes, I would love to experience genuine, legitimate life change in my life. How do I do that? How do I experience real life change? And the answer is, look at Jesus. You gotta look at Jesus, right? That's the answer. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Now, what Paul was writing about is he was saying that before we come to faith, our eyes are covered, our spiritual eyes are covered with a veil, and it keeps us from being able to see who God really is and understanding who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's accomplished. But at the moment of faith, when a person crosses the line of faith, when the Holy Spirit opens their eyes, the veil is lifted and they see for the very first time the glory of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, okay? And so what he says here is that we all with unveiled faces, when we contemplate the Lord's glory, when we look at Jesus, our lives are changed. That's what this verse is saying. That simply looking at Jesus begins to change and transform our lives. Now, I know for some of you in the room, and maybe some of you joining online, you're going, that sounds crazy, right? You're telling me that all I have to do is just look at Jesus and he'll begin to change my life? That's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that. Why? Because you see it again and again throughout Scripture. And you see it again and again played out through the lives of people right here in this room. Right? Think just for a moment. If you've ever read the Old Testament, you've come across Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is just living his life, ho-hum, in the temple. What happens? The glory of the Lord fills the temple, and Isaiah is changed. He's changed. He's not the same guy he was before that moment. From what? From seeing the glory of God. Fast forward to the New Testament. You guys remember a fellow by the name of Thomas, right? He's got a little nickname. Anybody know what his nickname is? Okay, you've heard of him before, right? Yes. Doubting Thomas. And what Thomas says is, I won't believe it that Jesus raised from the dead unless I put my hands where the nails were and where the spear inserted into his side. Unless that happens, I'm not going to believe it. And then like a day or two later, the resurrected Jesus shows up. And Thomas sees him right in front of him. Do you know what Thomas's reply was? My Lord and my God. And he fell down and worshiped him. What caused it? He looked at the glory of the Lord. He saw Jesus resurrected right in front of it, and it changed him. Here's what I'm telling you. Once you see it, you can never unsee it. I mean, many of you in this room, a lot of you online, you know, because you've seen Jesus, you've encountered him, and it's changed you. And once you see him, and once you see his goodness, and once you see what he's accomplished, and you realize what he's done for you, it absolutely changes your life. Listen, every single one of the apostles, right, the 11, they all went to their deaths proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they all died specifically because they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. Who gives up their very life for a lie? Nobody does that. Nobody does that. But it wasn't a lie. It was true. Why did they commit the entire rest of their lives to telling other people about Jesus? Because they saw him. They looked at him. They saw the glory of the Lord in Jesus Christ, and it changed their lives, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, see if we can go back to that for a second. It says, "There, with unveiled faces, they contemplate the Lord's glory." You might circle or underline the word contemplate, but that word contemplate might be understood better with the word gaze, that with unveiled faces, gaze at the Lord's glory, to gaze at Jesus Christ. Have you ever been caught gazing? You know, something catches your attention, you're just gazing at it. Usually your eyes are just glued in, your mouth opens a little bit, right? And you're just gazing. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've like gazed at mountains, you know, before, like amazing mountains. I've gazed at each one of the oceans, looking at the immensity of it and going, wow, and feeling how small I am in comparison to that. I've gazed at my children. I've gazed at my wife, Christina. In fact, I've gazed at her to study to know that when enough sun begins to hit her face, like these little freckles begin to play out around her nose and her eyes. And in fact, she has blue eyes, but there are these little glints and slits of yellow that are mixed in with the blue. Why do I know that? Because I've gazed, I've studied, I've taken it all in and just looked at her, right? This is what we're talking about when we're gazing. We're taking it all in, we're studying the details, we're enjoying that moment and letting it all come in. And so we can gaze at Jesus. What do I mean, gaze at Jesus? Well, at a higher level, what I would say is this. Stop reading the Bible for just information and start reading it for adoration. Start looking at the life and the teachings of Jesus and let it wow you. Let it overwhelm you. To look at who Jesus is and what he's accomplished and what he's done and just take it all in and read the scripture for adoration and amazement and wonder and look at who he is and just linger. Why does he interact this way instead of another way with this person? Man, look at his joy. Look at his love. Look at his compassion. Because when you gaze at Jesus, when you study him, what the scriptures say is you are changed by him. That simply looking at him with the eyes of faith begins to transform. Because this Holy Spirit begins to work in your heart and your mind and all at the same time as you're looking at Jesus again and again and again. And by the way, you will never be able to exhaust the beautiful view of Jesus. Don't you for a moment think that you can follow Jesus long enough in this world where it gets tired and worn out. Doesn't happen. Not if you're looking at the real Jesus. Not if you're looking at the Jesus as he's been revealed through the scriptures. And what I love about 2 Corinthians 3 is it says that when we do this, we are changed from glory to glory, right? That's what some of your translations say. We read increasing glory, but some of the other ones are from glory to glory. And what it's talking about is we're changed in the glory of forgiveness and new life in Christ when we receive that by faith. That happens now. We're changed in that moment. And then we're constantly being changed until the next moment of glory. And what's the next moment of glory? Stepping foot into eternity in heaven. We're being changed that whole time simply by looking at Jesus. From the moment you come to faith until you step into heaven and you're in the unrestricted presence of God. What happens when you gaze at Jesus? Jesus changes your life, right? In fact, Romans 12 gives us a little bit of glimpse into what this looks like. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so as you're gazing at Jesus, he begins to change your mind. He begins to change your values. He begins to change your priorities. And that leads to a changed lifestyle in the way we talk, in the way we live our lives, in the actions we take. What Romans 12 is saying is this: when you copy the world, you stay stuck, right? You stay stuck. But when you gaze at Jesus, he renews your mind. And he changes your desires. And he even goes so far as to transform your everyday behavior. In fact, true change comes from living in a relationship with Jesus. And you see how this passage ends? You start to get to the place where you begin inviting God to use your life for his purposes and for his will. And you know what Romans 12:2 calls that? Worship. That's worship. Worship is when I completely surrender and submit my life to the leadership of God, to use however he wants to. Because not only did he create it, but then he also purchased it back. And so I belong to him from every aspect of it, right? That's what real worship looks like. Now, this is a big shift because a lot of people think change comes from trying harder, right? We have that built into us that if I'm really going to change, then I have to try harder and do more things. But real life change doesn't come from trying harder. Real life change comes from drawing close to the person of Jesus. That's how your life has changed. It's not life hacks and disciplines and whatever else you can think of. It's actually drawing close to Jesus and gazing upon the glory of God. And so I want to encourage you, man, spend time gazing at Jesus throughout your day by reading the Bible and then just thinking about who Jesus is. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to make you more and more like Jesus. Just be honest with him, right? He knows your heart. He knows your mind, right? Just be straight up with him. The reason that God came in the flesh through the person of Jesus is so that you would know him and that you would know the purpose of life, and that you would know what real life change is, and you'd be able to experience that. Because you have to understand, life has some similarities to a test, but God wants you to get it right. God wants you to pass. Do you realize that? Like, even if you look at life as a test, God wants you to pass. He wants you to succeed. In fact, he's done everything necessary so that you can. He's already made you in his image so that you could know him. He's already revealed himself through the scriptures so you can see him in clarity. He already sent his son to die for your sin and be raised from the dead to give you new life. And he's given you today as an opportunity to respond, right? God is doing everything possible so that you can be found and step into a life of joy and purpose and meaning. But you have to look at who Jesus truly is. You have to see is how he has revealed himself. That's why that daily look challenge, I think, will be so helpful for many of us in the room. In fact, you can partner that with the Essential Bible Reading Plan. By the way, there are now over 300 people who are part of Lighthouse and Lighthouse Online who are on that Essential Bible Reading Plan. Man, it is surprising me the number of people like, I want to read the scriptures and know what it says about truth and who God is. And so you can partner that daily look with the Bible reading plan. But the question really comes down to this: will you look? Right? It's one thing to check a box. It's one thing to agree mentally. It's another thing to actually open up the scriptures and to look and see what it says about who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's accomplished. And so will you look at Jesus? Like, will you really look at him? Will you gaze at him? Because if you will, God will find you, and he'll show you what your life is really supposed to look like, and you'll be experiencing change in your life that you could never manifest on your own. Here's what you need to know. Jesus is the most exquisite, clearest view of God that you'll ever get in the here and now. And so look at him. Gaze upon him. Just look at Jesus. And you'll be amazed at how he transforms your life. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close the teaching the same way each weekend, and it's just a simple question that says, Jesus, what are you saying to me right now through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him for a moment. God, I am so thankful that sometimes just the simple act of looking at Jesus is the breakthrough to a significant life change. That you use the power of your word, you use the power of Jesus' death and resurrection, you use the power of the Holy Spirit, you use the power of the testimony of other believers in the church to open the eyes of people so that we can see you with amazing clarity. Because if we can see you, man, our hearts are brought to life. We're awakened to this new existence that we never knew before without you. And God, I'm so thankful that you opened my eyes. I'm so thankful that you've helped me to see Jesus with greater and greater clarity as I've been walking with you, and how that's been changing me. And I pray that for my friends and my family here today, that we would just lean into you, we would pursue you, we would just look at Jesus and take him all in and let that transform us and believe that the scriptures are true, that simply contemplating on the Lord's glory, simply gazing on the glory of Jesus Christ actually leads to real lasting life change. I pray for people who are in this room and joining online that they feel like they're wandering shiftlessly through life, trying to figure out their next step, trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing, and that maybe today was a day that you used to draw them to say, you know what, your purpose in life is knowing me. Above anything, it's just knowing me, walking with me. If you'll do that, I'll lead you through the rest of everything else. You don't have to have anxiety. You don't have to have worry. You don't have to manipulate or cajole or make things happen or you know, put in the grind. Just come to me, trust me, and I will walk you through the things that I want you to do. It sounds so simple, Lord, but it's true. I know it is from the scriptures, and I know it from my life. God, I just want other people to experience that too. So if I wonder if you'd use moments like this to lead us to decisions, to lead us to moments where we just put stakes in the ground to say, I am trusting Jesus and I will not be moved. I'm going to cling to him because I know he's clinging to me. God, we trust you and we love you. Would you continue to speak to us throughout the rest of this morning and throughout the rest of this day, and we would see you with greater clarity like never before.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.